This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
The Punisher, a firearm-wielding vigilante, was pulled from New York Comic-Con by Marvel and Netflix, something Steve Harsh, who's been attending for years, understands.
I do kind of agree with that, out of respect for the victims and for the situation.
But another attendee, Leo Lawrence, says the Punisher didn't cause the Vegas shooting.
That's only punishing the fans, and it's only letting the idiot that did it win.
Punisher or not, security here is tight, with the NYPD's heavily armed anti-terrorism unit standing guard. At the Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
Everyone's got their thing. Maybe it's a breakup, a death, an accident. Whatever it is, you used to be one thing. Now, you're something else. We all have our own problems. Our own issues. Our own. Demons.
Guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today, we're joined by special music guest, Kara Faye. Kara, how are you?
I'm quite well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So I'm super excited to have you on today's show. You've been busy lately. Wanted to ask you, this is kind of cliche, but how's your summer going so far? Because I know that you've been busy at work. Have you had any time to just relax and to take in the summer and the summer vibes?
You know, I wish, because I'm here in L.A., and, like, it'd be just, like, beach or whatever, like, I grew up. Honestly, like, I was in an accident, a car accident earlier in the year, and it put me down for 3 or 4 months, and I came out of that, like, right as summer was starting, so everything in my brain was just, like, get back to work, like, go, go, go. And so I've literally just been, like, inundated with, like, planning things for myself and setting goals and just, like, literally, I'm in the mindset right now of, like, field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. So it's, yeah. Like, I don't, that's my business plan right now. So I'm just, like, go, go, go. I'm so excited about the music that I've finally been able to release, the music that is coming, that's going to get released, making videos and everything. That's the only headspace I'm in. So, no, I wish. It's a particularly hot summer in LA, like hotter than usual.
Yeah.
So I can't say I'm like too bummed about it, because I like overcast, I like breeze, I like the sun, but I don't know, maybe being in LA, I like it. I had too much of it.
Right on. I was gonna ask you. I know that this is a question I ask a lot of artists, but where you grew up there in California, how would you say that it, you know, has inspired you or kind of helped to shape and to mold, you know, your style of music?
Well, I wouldn't say, unless somebody doesn't know California at all, I just say basically I grew up in LA, but I didn't. Grew up outside of LA. Had a pretty normal suburban American life, like whatever, like growing up. So, and I'm thankful for that. But because I was 45 minutes outside of Hollywood, I was still afforded the opportunities of being here. So from when I was like a kid, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, but my parents were like, you have to pick one hobby kind of thing. And my sister was like, I want to play the banjo. And she starts, you know, doing that. And I'm I wanted to sing. I was just a kid. It wasn't like, it was fun. And I basically was afforded, I got into this group as if like a, we're talking a young kid, where I got to go play shows like for Ronald Reagan and like stuff like that. Like from a really young age, it wasn't work. It was just fun performing. And if I would have lived somewhere else, I wouldn't have that opportunity. You know, like I think about that so much, like just the opportunities that I was surrounded by, you know, because I was just a kid growing up around here. And then because it's Southern California, like, you know, you'd think I'd be more like Eagles and, you know, stuff and maybe Beatles, kind of like something you'd listen to by the beach. I love the Beach Boys, but honestly, like, for me, it was all like gospel and soul music growing up.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing that really shaped me was the punk scene out here. Like, punk and hardcore. I came from loving, like, classical and jazz, hip-hop. I got into hip-hop and punk at, like, the same time. Like, underground hip-hop and punk at the same time. So, and the scene out here for that was just thriving. And I think about that a lot. Like, if I, like, how would I have found, because that has literally shaped so much of my performance. And the way I perform, the nerve that I try to inject into my music, because you can write a love song, but you can make it feel more than just a love song. You make it feel, you can make the instrumentation feel edgy like the love is if you want, you know? And I feel like I've been able to interject that a lot. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I read somewhere, I hope I'm not being too presumptive, but I think I read somewhere where you had listed Aretha Franklin as one of your, as an artist that, you know, helped to inspire you and to kind of mold your sound.
Oh, vocally, 100%. So first top singer, Nat King Cole. Favorite voice. But Nat King Cole, Etta James, and Ella Fitzgerald are like my top three. For me, it's all tone. You know, it's not so much, are you a wizard? Can you do runs? Are you an acrobatic vocalist? Like, it's literally like, were you born with a tone that's going to speak to my soul when you sing one word and you don't even flip it? You just say hi on a note, you know? Because there are those singers, and like, so those croony voices, like, they get me. They just get me.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, because I think, you know, like you said, people are they're so used to, you know, dealing with those wizards, you know, people with the long runs and stuff like that. But sometimes it's just the simplicity of, you know, a person's voice and the story that they're, you know, they're trying to tell that resonates so much with you, you know, as an artist or as a listener.
And there's such a magic when you have that tone. And you can still do all this stuff. Like, you were born with a tone, and then you worked your butt off to be able to do all that stuff. But anyone can sing. You can talk. You can literally produce notes and sing. Fast. Anyone can sing. But for me, as a singer, I'm snooty about two things, music and voices and coffee. And so I'm just like, no, I don't care if you're talking like you're saying you're a singer. You know, like, anyone can sing. We're all singers, and that's just beautiful. But the voices that I like to listen to are different. That makes sense.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. You know, on the legacy of Aretha Franklin, I mean, this was, I think her passing was a blow for a lot of people. To you personally, what did she mean to you? And what did her legacy, I guess, do for you?
Oh, man. She's a figure of strength. That's like one of the craziest things when I think about her legacy, and I think about the music she chose to sing and perform. The way when you watch her performances, it's like, it just embodies strength. And that's like one of the biggest takeaways that I have from her. It's just how, I don't know, I just felt like that was her truth. Does that make sense? Like, because back then, a lot of singers weren't writing their songs. But they, for damn sure, were approving them. You know, they were like, yeah, I like that
right.
one. That's the one I want to be. And I think that when I look at her catalog and I think of it's just like, man, that was your truth. You were strong. You wanted, you know, I don't know. That's like the number one thing I think about for her. Strength and holy shit, what a voice.
Yes, get a big one.
I mean, just like the first two words in "It Lasts" is like one of the most iconic vocal moments in history. When she comes in and just says "At last," and you're just like, you're dead. You're on the floor. Like,
yes.
What just happened to me? Because her voice is so powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That is something. And, you know, like you said, it's the story you're trying to tell, what you're conveying to the audience, I mean, it's powerful. I mean, and that's what sets apart, you know, good musicianship with, you know, just average or run-of-the-mill, you know, vocals, music, or whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
I want to jump ahead. I want to talk about your new EP. What's the story behind the EP? What was the writing process like? Where were you at, I guess, in terms of your headspace when you were writing this EP and preparing it?
So I didn't go into it with, like, oh, it needs to be this or it needs to be that. Like, I literally went into it going, what is it? What is me? Like, in my adult life, I had never done something myself musically to really know even what I was as a singer. As like, I knew who I was as a person, if that makes sense. And I knew my melodic sense. I do say so myself, I have a fantastic taste in music. So I know my melodic sense, I know my lyric sense, because I always found poetry. But then, like, professionally, you know, I was given the opportunity to be in this band, to Shine Through Guns, and that's all I knew. So when I decided I want to sing bigger, because I grew up singing, like, big vocals, A, B, I feel like I have more to say. You know, like, just, like, what comes out of my mouth when it's trust me, you know, when it doesn't have to reflect a band that has kind of a niche, you know? Like, there's a sound that people expect. So that was both terrifying and exhilarating, going into that process. It was like, am I going to be able to have a career if it's not like, if it's all the songs don't sound like the disco? Because the disco wasn't necessarily me. You know, like, definitely had that phase, but I don't know, that was like something, Shine Through Guns is always the sum of all of us, if that makes sense. It's how a band should be. We kind of all came together to make the sound, to make the live show what it was and whatever. It's like an honest chemistry. So working with a bunch of producers who, without a sound, is probably why it took me so long to do the EP, if that makes sense. And so I wrote like 150 songs. Somewhere in there I wrote Watch Me. And that song, literally, I went home listening to it over and over and over and over, and it was just like, this is my sound. After all those songs, I had found, like, the Sonics, the producer Jonathan Stein, and I had sat there and created what I knew I wanted, like, the Carafe project. Because I always think live when I'm making the song. I'm like, oh, but how's it going to sound live? Like, you know? I've just performed too much to not think that way. So Watch Me started it all, sonically. Right after that, I wrote Gold Plated, which I actually ended up playing, releasing before it. And We Go Back was right after that. Like, they came. Once I had the sound, I knew exactly how to write in the lane. And it took me a while to figure out what that was. And also, every song before that, and this is like me just being honest, every song before that was kind of like a heartbreak song. And I didn't know. I was, like, figuring out, I felt almost like that was all I could feel. Like, when I sat down and we played the piano, it was like, oh, shit, here comes some sorrow. No, and I'm such a happy person, and I realized that's probably where it all goes. So thank God for music, that, like, most of my music is, like, sad. But I started realizing, while I was watching, I kind of tapped into this, like, frustration. Like, not anger, but just this, like, empowerment. Without being disingenuous, because I'm also a very vulnerable person who, I've been through a lot, just straight up. If an artist can go through it, I've probably been through it. And once I, the whole point of this is to say, once I wrote Watch Me, everything shifted focus and got way more exciting. All of a sudden, I was like, I know what this is. Hi, sorry, a random dog just ran into me. Not a little dog, a very big, a very large dog just sprinted at me. So the process became writing, specifically for the EP, became for writing from where I'm at right now, not worrying about what's going to work, what people want. It's literally just like, what do I want to say? What is my truth? And I think, unfortunately, here in L.A., which is where, you know, so many artists, you know, figure out their sound, their album, or whatever, it gets lost. It all gets, like, put together. It's hard to explain, but you write with the same producers. You know, there might be 100 artists writing with the same producers.
Yeah.
You know, for all, like, big pop or alt records, like, and it's hard not to get lost in that. That's fine. You know what I mean? Because everybody's just that they obviously, you want it to work. You want it. And if you can strip all of that away, and it took me, and it sucks, but it took me, like, years to figure out, like, no, that's not me. I'm just as, like, when I go back to, like, before Shiny Toy Gun, I'm just this punk and hardcore girl who also grew up singing, like, jazz standards and, like 50s and 60s music. And I grew up singing in church. You know, like, gospel music was such a huge part of my life.
I had heard before that gospel was a big influencer, in your makeup. And so that's where it came from the church.
Yes, 100%. That wasn't like gospel music too. I'm sure that was like my truth. There's something about, first of all, there's something about voices singing together. I sang in a lot of choirs, and there's such a power to it. Like, whether you like that kind of music or not, when you're standing in a room or on the floor, and there's just powerful voices that can sing together well, like, it's just goosebumps. It's magic. And I don't know if you saw, but I got to do that for Coldplay. Not only on the record, but on the video. And it's probably to date, that shoot, one of the coolest things I've ever done, because it was with a choir that I just love and respect so much, and I still, to this day, I'm like, how did I do that? Why did they do that for me? I'm like, oh, just so thankful.
It's a beautiful song. I mean,
thank you.
I mean, I know you hear that a lot, and I know that, you know, it sounds cliche to say, but it really is beautiful. Like, I mean, and that was one of the questions that I had posed to you when I sent them off was, you know, do you still regard yourself as a spiritual person? Because I really feel like that song, that's God's work right there. You know, I mean, God talks to us through, you know, song and through other people. And when I hear that song, I hear a message from God, you know, and I think that that's really, really cool that, you know, he blessed you and gave you, you know, the know-how to translate that song into the video. It's visually stunning. I love it. It's a great.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And I am 100% a spiritual person, and God is very important to me. And I think the director of that choir, like, when I first met her, that was like, you know, I was just basically like, hey, I love your choir. I love what you do. And this specific woman, she's the woman that they modeled and literally based the track 2 off of.
Ooh.
So, yeah, this is, like, the woman. And her name's Miss Iris Stevenson, and I'm obsessed with her. It's one of those women that, like, you feel honored to be in the presence of because she's just so powerful. She just emanates light, and I love it. But when I went and met with her, you know, I don't know if she's going to like me. Honestly, I'm just a tattooed white girl. Like, how's she going to like me? And she was just like, she's from across the parking lot before we even said hi. She was walking towards me, and she goes, oh, I know I'm going to love you. And I melted. I just ran at her. I literally was just like, I love you. That was how we met. She was just like, God is on you. And I don't know, I just got goosebumps everywhere. I love her. I'm very grateful. I hope to do more with them. I'll tell you that. I want to actually, like, perform with them.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. Something you said at the beginning of the interview really stood out to me, where you talked about, you know, just going over in your head, you know, how a song would, you know, how it would sound live, and if you could reproduce that sound live. And a lot of artists and musicians, I don't think they think that far ahead. But the fact that you do really shows that, you know, this is something that you're passionate about and that you you just love doing. Looking back now that the EP is finished, are you pleased with the work that you've done with the EP? Is there anything that you would change about it at all?
No, and that, again, sorry everyone that it took so long, but that's what I was striving for. I wanted it to be like no regrets. I'm not like, oh, like my hope isn't in the success of the EP. Because when it's literally just exactly how you wanted it, you're not so worried about whether it blows up. Does that make sense? Because if I would have felt pressured to do a certain type of music, a certain type of production or whatever, just so that I could succeed, and then it didn't work, I would be devastated. I'd be like, if you're all of a sudden pointing fingers at everybody else, but I know I made exactly what I wanted to do. And now I get to build on that, and it's so exciting. And I played a show, August 1st? Oh, July 1st. It was longer than that. And so not too long ago, and we played all the EP songs, and it was literally one of the happiest days of my life. I was like, I just getting to do your music, and I did this for a very long time with Shine Play Guns, but seeing people singing the songs back, and EP wasn't out, so like, but Gold-Plated was. Seeing them sing, like, I don't know how they found it, but they like found videos on YouTube and like new words to other songs. I felt like honored. I felt like, as a musician, like, you just want to touch people. That's like, for me, accolade, whatever. When someone comes up at a show and says, like, this song got me through this, or, like, I don't know what I would have done without this album, because I've had music touch me like that, it's the biggest honor. Nothing else beats that. It will fuel 5 more years of no success, like, whatever success, like, I literally will just go because I feel like I'm doing something right if I'm touching people. And the reaction to the EP, I have like, I don't know, the messages that people send me, I'll do this the rest of my life. I literally will.
Man, I love it. That's how you know that that's truly like your calling, that's what, you know, God has graced you and like gifted you to do. Cause I mean, I can hear it in your voice and also the work that you do, that this is something that you really, really love. And it's like, that's what you feel complete when you do it, you know, kind of like we were talking about that earlier with me, with podcasting. It's the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
My fulfillment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's been about a year that you've been, since you've gone solo. How do you feel about the decision? Like, is there anything that you would change about the decision, or do you feel like you should have given it more time, or you would have given it more time to think about? Like,
no, 100%. I feel like I made the decision that I had to. Not only that, I feel like I waited too long. 100%. I am literally 100%. Like, I knew that I had to do this. I knew that I had songs in me that I know that I have Shine Play Guns songs in me too, but I knew that I had songs that wouldn't fit with Shine Play Guns, and that I, as an artist, like, I had more, like, legacy-wise, that I want to leave behind. Like, I feel so good about my decision. I feel like, you know, hindsight's 2020, right? And I feel like there's so many things along the way that I probably would have done different, not with the music. But I've been, like, on labels, off of labels, and whatever, trying to figure it out. And my number one mistake was waiting for somebody else, waiting for a manager, waiting for a label or something, when I knew what I wanted to do. And, like, I think with Transway Guns, that was the difference between Transway Guns. Like, there was four of us, and I got to just be the singer. I got to just, like, you know, essentially the fun stuff. Like, we're working our tails off, but Jeremy in the band was doing so much of the business stuff, and it was a really, like, eye-opening experience. All of a sudden has to be all of it. There's no one else to hold accountable for the vision, for the sound, for what this is, what the look is. Like, it's just what I want. And that's so exciting. That is so cool. Like,
absolutely.
You know, I feel so blessed to have been and still be a part of Transway Guns. Like, because just because four people get together and make music, it doesn't mean it's going to be good. You know, like,
yeah.
there's over, you know, millions of bands that do that. But to feel like the four of us got together and, like, actually did something cool and people responded to it, like, man, do I feel honored for that. And with the EP, like, when I listened to that, because I do, not all the time, but that was another thing. Like, I wanted to make music that I would listen to if I wasn't a part of it. You know, if it was like I heard it. That's how I knew I was making something that, like, that I wouldn't regret in the 50 years down the line. I'd be like, man, that's me. Like, I did that. It's crazy. The music, it gets written through you. You know, you block yourself when you think you're doing it all. You know, when the universe isn't giving you stuff. And I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent right now.
You're absolutely right. You hit on something there. Like, I think there's a saying, like, pride goes before a fall. And I think if you're so much of an egomaniac that you think it's like, it's all about me, 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 then it's like you really are doing a disservice to the universe. And it's like, it's going to come back and bite you. You know what I mean? Like, it's best to stay humble and to, you know, to just give credit where it's due and to, you know, just never, you know, not forget, you know, like, hey, I was blessed to do these things, you know, let me give back.
100%. And, like, giving back to me is the number one thing. Because music, I mean, it's not just something that I've been able to do, but what music has done for me, I'm not talking about my career. I mean, since I was a kid listening to music, the vocalists and the singers and songwriters that we've been talking about, like, the way those people touch me, the way, like, music has affected me and affects all of us, like, if I can write a song that is doing that to other people, that's, like, the craziest. Like, I get giddy thinking about that.
Right.
I know what it's done for me. And to think about, you know, someone sitting in their bedroom studying something I did, the way I used to sit in my bedroom and study something, you know, it's so cool. Like, I get to be a musician. I don't have to be a musician. I, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just, right. What's the saying? Chew up the meat, spit out the bones.
Yeah. We were talking about just, you know, in terms of, like, you wanting to touch people with your music and that, you know, for people, you know, hearing your music for the very first time, you know, we were talking about what do you want them to get from the music, because, like, so many of your songs have, like, so, you know, such a positive message and a loaded message or meaning. Is there one particular thing that you want them to take away from it?
From the music at large or a specific song? Because every song is a different story, emotion, like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Like Gold-Plated is, you know, that's a song that, you know, has such a powerful, powerful, powerful message.
I want people to be inspired. I want people to get excited. Like, you, I have a lot of sorrow in my songs, and, like, there's no denying that, especially I have a ballad called Freedom that's going to come. But I want people to still somehow be inspired by that, because it took me a second to figure out, as a songwriter, don't try to write from a place of strength. Write from exactly how you feel and go there 100% and be honest about it. That's the version people are going to respond to. If you try to write the same song that's been written 1,000, 1,000,000 times, you know, a breakup song, for example.
Right.
You know, like, if you don't write exactly what you experience and you're just trying to rhyme things and stuff like that, like, that's not the soul connecting stuff. The soul connecting stuff is when someone's like, oh my, that is exactly how I felt. When you can just go there, and maybe you're not proud of how you felt. Maybe it's like, man, I was really broken, you know, but like, and it took me a second to figure out, like, no, that's how I'm going to get people to connect to me. I'm just honest. So right. That's what I strive for, is literally more vulnerable the better, even if I'm like, ooh, that was uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely. There's power in that vulnerability, and it, you know, you're able, you know, with full transparency, you're able to help people more so than just writing, you know, a blanketed song about, you know, like a generic topic.
Even if you're writing a sad song, if someone else is sad and listens to that, they get inspired because they're like, okay, I am not alone in these feelings. And that in and of itself can help somebody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the world that we live in is super crazy. There's like always something going on. A lot of times, you know, tragedy is highlighted more so than, you know, good news and good things happening.
100%.
You know, as a musician, I really believe that, you know, you're put here to help people, to give them joy, you know, in our lives, because our lives are short-lived, you know. But what would you say brings you the most joy in your life?
Like true joy.
True joy.
Children. Because they are the most, and I have none of my own, but they have the brightest light that hasn't been put out, that hasn't been filtered through the crap in this world. If you have a child next to you, don't take that for granted. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe it's your brother's kid or whatever. Like, just spend some time with that kid. It'll change your life. I believe that earnestly. Like, the Whitney song is like, I believe the children are the future.
Yeah.
That is real. That is real. Like, anyway, so pure joy. Children, kids are sick. Music, real music. And like I said earlier, I'm a snob. Like, don't do some, like, cut copy, you know, rhymes. I love rhymes. That's not to say I don't love rhymes. But, like, you know, some people are just very generic. It's like, man, like, I heard that in a song 5 minutes ago. But when someone writes a real song, like, it stops me dead in my tracks. And I'm the kind of creature habit that just doesn't do it over and over and over and over and over. And then the energy of a live show. Was my first love. Straight up, like, performing. Yeah. There's something about that, like being on stage, even if it wasn't singing, and that's what I love to do the most, but something about being in front of people, because I come from, like, when you think about punk and hardcore shows, and I didn't go into this, but I remember the first Shiny Playground show we played, we hadn't, like, rehearsed the way we were going to perform. We just rehearsed the song. So when we get up there, like, nobody really knew what was going to happen. So I just went into, like, hardcore mode. Like, you sing this line, like, they don't know that song. Like, this is our first show ever. But, you know, I just went into that mode of just, like, this is an experience. This is a tug and pull between, like, you guys and me. It's not just, like, hey, well, watch me. I'm a performer. You know, it's like, I'm the star. And you're like, I, like, went right into this, like, community that I'm, you know, we talked about a little bit earlier, that kind of shaped me, particularly as a performer. So that is a huge point of joy. And then, honestly, like, I found, like, true, true love and getting married soon. And that's, like, massive point of joy for me. Like, to have found that level of, like, fairy tale, best friend romance is, like, the coolest thing ever. And I get to do music with him, which is on a whole nother level of, like, dopeness.
Man, that is awesome. And that was actually one of my questions. But I think that's so awesome. In terms of, you know, being engaged and, you know, also, you know, working so closely with, you know, your lover and soon-to-be husband, I want to say, is there ever, like, a time where you feel like overwhelmed? Is there ever a time that you guys just don't gel? And if so, how do you come together, you know, to work on your creative differences to put out the, you know, the best creative product possible?
Well, like I said, like that disgusting fairy tale, like, come on, things aren't that perfect. I swear to God, somehow I found that. We decided even before we were like really in a relationship, like we just like when we first started hanging out, it was like, wow, this is the real thing. Before we'd even kissed or anything, he was already like my best friend. And so we were able to talk about like our goals and like, because we've both been in long relationships that eventually went sour, and there's wisdom in that. You know, you can't regret that. There's wisdom in those kind of relationships. And we were able to decide early on, first of all, it's us first. You know, like if you genuinely want it to work, we weren't planning on working together at this time, but it was just like, we're going to put each other first because this is the part of our life that we know has to last. You know, we both are like family people, but also extremely career driven people. So there is a balance to be found in that, but creatively, we are literally the same person. So this is funny. Like 6 months into our relationship, he had said like 5 times, like, this is such a narcissistic relationship. And it was the only thing I didn't understand. I was like, I don't get that. It sounds weird. Like, but I was just thinking to myself. So one time he says it and I'm like, okay, what do you mean by that? Cause I'm like, you know, I'm like, this is like, nothing was wrong. I was just like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, confused. He goes, we're both dating, like, the male and female opposites of each other. He's like, we're the same person. And I was like, oh, this is a narcissistic. Like, we literally just found, like, I found a male version of myself. It's so funny. We're literally the same person. We're going to get a tattoo that just says, why are you me? we're like all day long, like we have to go change our clothes because we're dressing the same way. And this, like, that stuff was happening. We look at pictures of like years before we were dating, or, like, we were dressing the same, like everything. Like, grew up on different sides, but we were just like, I don't know. And now I want to like hold seminars and write books and tell people, like, yo, if you're in a bad relationship, like, get out. You're wasting your time. Because if that person's out there, you could put that bar that high. You can literally be like, yo, this is dope. You don't fight anything. That's sick. It's possible. So, you know, of course, like, things come up, and they, like, you never fight. It gets squashed, like, immediately, because it's never anything that either of us do, you know? Life is hard in the surroundings. And that's the only thing that we've had to, like, face is, like, surrounding stuff outside of our little world. And it's never an issue. It's never an issue because we have respect for each other. And when you keep that respect, even when people start, like, yelling at each other, calling each other names, respect is gone. And that's, like, when you don't have that in a relationship, like, it's so hard to deal with stuff. But we respect each other. So when he brings up a creative idea, first of all, I love it because we're the same person. Second of all, if I didn't like it, I would be able to articulate out of respect. And he'd be like, oh, cool, let's try this. Does that make sense?
And that makes perfect sense. Yeah,
that goes for even if you're not in a relationship. Like, I come from a band, and a band, man, anyone in a band listening to this, like, they know it's a family. And it's so hard to navigate because you're literally the four people, five people, however many people are in your band. And every single one of those people are important. They're all different people with different, like, it's a relationship. And you're working at the same thing. You're sleeping in the same vicinity. You're having to eat the same food. You're all tired. I mean, once you lose that respect for each other, it's so hard. It's not impossible, but you got to get it back. It has to be, like, the focus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you hit on something there. I mean, respect goes a long way, and communication is key to any relationship, friendship. I mean,
yeah.
You don't have those two things, it's like, it's not going to be a very, healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Wanted to kind of go back, because we were talking earlier about, you know, the dynamic of coming from, you know, essentially a band to being solo.
Are there any musicians that you would love to work with in the future, just in terms of like albums, whether it be like guest vocals or anything of that sort?
Absolutely. I love Frank Ocean. I love Chance the Rapper. I love Kendrick Lamar. I love Kanye. I love Imagine Dragons are so sick. Their energy live, I just like, it's something that I'm like, that's, I identify with that. I don't know how else to explain it. I'm just like, I get it. It feels like it came, like we were cut from the same cloth when I see their live shows. I'm like, yes, that exactly. I get it. Who else? I mean, there's so many musicians that I love that if the opportunity came, I'd be like, oh my God, please, can we collab on something? I'm trying to think of like who, because that's what like people I listed is like probably the people I'm listening to right now. I don't know, maybe that's it.
You know, good ones, though.
I'll interject later if I think of another one.
Okay. Sounds good. What advice would you give to, you know, the young man and the young woman out there that's listening to this interview that, you know, is an aspiring, you know, musician, you know, singer such as yourself? Is there any advice that you wish that, you know, you knew earlier that you know now that you could kind of impart on somebody?
If you want it, don't stop. Literally, it's just understand it's hard. Understand the percentage of like people that actually make it and have and are able to make parlay it into a career, and just go after it. Set your goals high because you might actually tap into something lower than that. But if you're not shooting higher, don't expect to even like have a little success. Like set your goals high and set your expectations for yourself high. Understand how many people are doing this. You know what I mean? Like I live in LA, and on every corner there's a musician. You live in Tennessee. You live in Tennessee, so think about this. Like, you walk down the streets in Nashville, every bar has an unbelievable singer in it playing live every single night.
Yeah.
Or guitar player, something like that. And literally, if you don't understand, your dream has to be bigger than the rejection you're going to face. You know, like, first person to tell you no, you can't let that deter you. On the acting, I heard a percentage once on the acting side. People who are aspiring actors, the ratio is like 200 auditions before they land like their first commercial. So if you come to LA and you're trying to be an actor, like understand how many times you're going to hear no before you get a little yes. And of course, there are the stories in the music industry and acting industry and the arts, whatever we'll call them, of like something happening really quick. But don't put your hope in that. That could happen. And if it does, write it out and understand how lucky you are. But not stopping. Remembering why you're doing it, because people know if you're doing it for the right reason. If people think you're just after being famous, they're going to read into it. But if you're doing it because you want to be in music, because you think you have something to give to music, people will read that. People will respond. And don't stop. And that's all I have.
That's some good advice. And also, you're right. You know, people are a really good judge of motivations and character, and yeah, you're right. If you're just in it for the money or to become famous, these people are gonna read through it, and they're not gonna have a whole lot of respect for you. And
it'll reflect in your art.
You're right. You're so right. Yeah, it's reflective in one's art. I wanted to go back and talk to you because I know that we had talked a little bit about, you know, your upbringing in the church, and we talked about you being a spiritual person. Would you say that, you know, your spiritual mindset or, you know, your faith walk, has it helped to kind of define your music as well?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. When it's a part of you, it's just a part of everything you do, right? And I definitely don't point my music in that direction. You know, I'm not, like, trying to be, to be known as like a religious person, because honestly, even in my friendships and whatever, like people recognize like a light in me, or people like, and they want to know more about it, then hey, I'm here for it. But I don't necessarily think that's what life's about. And I think a lot of I think a lot of religions get that wrong. You know, like they feel like their goal in life is to get conversions out of people. And I think it deters them from actually doing good in what they believe and whatever. So for me, just another human on this planet, right, who has an ever-changing, I like to keep my heart hollow, and I'm non-judgmental. I literally am just like, I respect what anyone believes because I don't know their journey. I don't know what led them to that belief. And honestly, like maybe in a year from now, like I'll have a shifted understanding or a deeper understanding, you know, and like I have the hard heart. Like once you think you know, and this applies to everything, once you think you know, you stop growing. Once I say, wow, I'm a dope singer, which I've never said in my life, I stop growing in my craft. Or like, yeah, I know how to write a song, like blah blah blah. Like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to like get that mentality, because I wake up every day like, man, if I could just do this run or whatever, like I'm finding things that inspire me so I can be a better singer or a better songwriter or whatever. I don't know. I think it's important to know where your inspiration comes from, and it'll bleed through naturally.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you definitely don't want to force anything. And I mean, I see what you're saying too. Like, you want to have an open mindset and an open heart to where you can, you know, you can see other people's journey and respect their journey and work to understand it rather than being, you know, judgmental or closed off. So,
100%.
Good mindset to have.
Yeah.
I love it. I wanted to ask you, because I know that you've had, you know, a few shows here and there. Do you have any plans to do like an expanded tour?
That's all I want right now. It's literally my number one goal is to tour. I love playing shows, and there's so many people that reach out to me from like cities everywhere, you know, that maybe I've been to in the past. But I want to be on the tour in the fall. I don't know if I will. I don't know if I'll be able to figure that out in time. I know I'm going to be in the tour in the spring, and I can't give too many details on that because I don't want to jinx it, but I think I already have a spring tour planned. But I'm hoping that stars align in a way for me to get on the tour in the fall, because I'm ready. My heart is like ready to just go. I've been like here in LA in the same place writing for so long. I'm just like, I want to go out and I want to sing these into people's faces every night. That's like kind of priority one.
yes. Kind of a cliche question, but what do you love most about performing live? Because I know that, you know, different, you know, groups or artists have, you know, different, I guess, preferences on, you know, the type of live show or event. You know, some people like festivals more. Some people love concerts more. But the actual act of, you know, performing live, what do you like or enjoy most about it?
The interaction. Hands down, first of all, loud music, feeling it in your body is sick. But there's something about experiencing music with people, and that goes like as a spectator too, but like as a musician, as a songwriter, singer, whatever, and lucky enough to be the front person who gets to like, you kind of get to be out there more with the people. Interaction, like there's a literal energy that people feed off from you and give back to you. And that's like, if you talk to other musicians, like you're on a high afterwards. You're literally like, you're not going to sleep for a long time. It's just, there's something that happens where you're like, you're floating after shows. It's exhilarating. And that like, that interaction, that's why it was for me, like, rehearsing is so important, because I don't want to get up on stage ever and not feel prepared where I can't. Just want to get up there, I want it to just be fun. I want the songs and everything to just be a part of me and just go have fun. I have to have fun at shows or else it's just boring.
Yes, indeed. Where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of, you know, your upcoming shows, tours, new announcements?
Wait, what was the question?
Oh, that's okay. Where can our listening audience find out more about you? You know, keeping up with like your upcoming shows and tour announcements and stuff like that.
Oh, 100%. I stay really active on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and most of them are just at Cara Faye. So I think Facebook's Cara Faye Music. And I actually just launched a website. So some people on Twitter started calling themselves Faithful and like spelled like my like Faye. And
yeah.
I don't even know how to describe how touched I was by that. So I made my website, faithfuls.com, and I'm freaking out how happy it makes me. So I'll be, I launched it. It's got like all my new merch and stuff on it, but I'm going to be using that more and more to like talk to people, to do releases. And besides the socials, I would say faithfuls.com.
I love it. I love it. There was, I wanted to say, there was, we had a listener that actually tweeted a question, and I think you had actually already addressed it, but for the sake of asking on the show, I wanted to pose the question to you, but it comes from Dringy Pie, @DRINGYPIE. He says, "Hi, Caro, do you have any plans to play shows in the UK as solo artist or with Shiny Toy Guns in the near future?"
Oh, man, I want to get to the UK so bad. Outside of the US, like, that's the number one market that Shiny Toy Guns got to go to. Because we had a separate deal in the UK. So that's why we were able to do that. And, oh, man, do I love it there. Like, music is amazing everywhere, right? But there's, like, in specific cities, you just feel their gratitude for music differently. And we had so much fun in the UK. I want to get back there immediately, like ASAP.
I've actually never been out of the country, but I plan to in the near future. Somehow, I don't know how, but I plan to get out and to see the world because, I've heard the UK is just amazing, and the people are really, really nice as well.
And so lovely, and it's, like, definitely my, like, overcast vibe. And then, but one time we went there for 40 days, and I'll tell you, I kissed the ground when I got back because I'm, like, I was so thankful for sun at that point.
Right.
And there's so much history there. If you're, like, I don't go to McDonald's, but, like, the McDonald's there is, like, in a building that's older than our entire country. You know, like, it's...
What?
It's just, like, literally, like, you go there and you're just like, man, everything feels like a piece of history, and it's so cool. And, honestly, they regulate food better. Everything just feels a little healthier there.
Yeah, that is true. That's one thing that's really disappointing about living here is that, you know, food regulations are just crazy, like,
yeah.
The stuff that the FDA, you know, allows to be sold is just
disgusting.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Trust me, you don't want to get me started on that.
I'm sure.
I hate it.
I hear you. I just have two last questions, but one of them is so before, this is kind of a weird question, but before you get ready to perform or to go on tour, do you have any, I guess, pre-show or pre-tour rituals that you do to kind of help relax you? Do you find yourself getting nervous, or do you still get nervous at this point?
Oh, man, I've played over 1,000 shows, and I get nervous before everyone. It's nervous. You know, nervous excitement is a real thing, and I think that's what it is more. It's not that I'm shaking in my boots. For me, you know, it's ironic because I'm a singer. So my voice is probably my biggest insecurity. So if I'm nervous, it's about my voice. And because I have like a breathy, raspy voice, so I lose it pretty kind of easily. So if I'm nervous, it's not because I'm going to be in front of people. Like, I lost that like since I was a kid. Like, I just love being up in front of people. I'm nervous about whether my voice is going to because that's like, I want to be known for my voice. But, you know, I'm an idiot on stage and I have a lot of fun, but like, singing is like so important to me. I want to be known as a lover of people, a lover of all people. And, you know, I hope that my voice touches people. So that's my insecurity when I get up there. I'm just like, oh, come on, voice, be there. So warming up is very important to me.
Right on.
I know singers that don't warm up, and I'm like, you are crazy. I'm like, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, because, I mean, in theory, you could hurt your voice, right? I would
it's
imagine.
It's just like a track star. Like, you got to warm up that muscle. What do you do? You're going to run a marathon without stretching your legs out? You're crazy.
Yeah. Definitely. Man. And my very last question is, do you have plans to do a full length anytime soon? And if so, do you have like a targeted date?
No. So if the spring tour works out, there'll definitely be another release around that. Whether it's a full length that has the existing 5 songs on it or another EP, that's 100%. Like, I already have a lot of it written even. I would just like to be touring when it comes out. That's like really important to me. I want to be out there every night, like getting to like, you know, promote it, but like to connect with people. It's not just about the releasing it and then sitting in your bedroom, like getting to experience it with people. And like, cause that's another thing that's cool about music and the lyrics you write. Like, it's not just about my story. Like, people can listen to it and take the message that they want out of it. And honestly, that's why it's so common to like, oh, I've been singing the wrong words all this time, because whatever, like, that's not a bad thing. You made that song yours and that's what it meant to you. I love that. I give everyone permission to do that with my music, because I for damn sure did that with other people's songs. But yeah, 100% going to be, I won't say song titles, even though I love to do that stuff, but I have music that it's coming. And I'm going to continue to write more. And I'm really excited about it.
I love it. Kara, thank you so much. I'm all out of questions, but just wanted to thank you for coming on today's show. And I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything else you'd like to say to our listeners.
Well, I hope that you listen to the Watch Me EP. That's like an absolute expression of me. And if you listen to it and close your eyes, whatever you're picturing is exactly what the live show is going to be like. Because I tried to put that into the music, the energy in the music, the dynamics in the music. So also, that's exactly what the live show will deliver. So I hope that you can connect to it and then that you come to a show when I come to your city. And I'm just grateful. I'm a grateful little bird right now.
I love it. Kara, thank you so much.
Thank you, Walter, so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having me on, and we'll definitely be in touch.
Amen. Sounds good.
Hi, Walter.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye.